Amen. Don't forget, you know, I think there's a lot of folks that, well, I've blown it, I've messed it up, it's just too far gone. It's grace. His grace reaches all the way. Well, all the way where? All the way. You know, we've been talking about having a heart after God, and you know, somebody who's, they may have been so far away from God, you would say, well, they're almost next to the gutter. I mean, or maybe their feet are in the gutter, but if they can have a heart turned toward God, God somehow reaches all the way down there to get them. Now, maybe you're starting here, he'll reach to you. But you're starting here, he'll reach to you. You're starting here, he'll reach to you. The point is, do you have a heart after God? His grace is always greater, no matter what it is. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, if you will. In a series of messages called Jumping Jehoshaphat. Jumping Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good guy. He had a heart after God. He just did some foolish things. Did some foolish things and hurt himself, hurt his family in a couple ways. But he was a good man. He tried to do right. The fact is, God knows where we are. He knows our heart. But don't use it as an excuse. Well, I can sin because he'll go that far. No, that's not a heart after God. God knows our heart. We're gonna pray first, and then we're gonna cover a lot of, because I got a lot of we got one whole chapter we're gonna cover real quick, and so I'm not gonna spend time reading it. We're gonna read it as we go. We'll get through it all, but we'll do it that way this morning. And this morning I'm gonna talk about this. Jehoshaphat returns. Jehoshaphat returns. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that when you show people in the Bible, you show them warts and all, just like the rest of us. I thank you that you show the grace. Like our first hymn, years we spent in vanity and pride, caring not that for you, for us you've died. But then mercy was great, and grace was free. Pardon was multiplied to us. Thank you so much for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I believe that there's probably, most of us can fit ourselves in the story of Jehoshaphat someplace along the way at one time or another. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak to us. We need your Holy Spirit power to move and work. Lord, may we be truly, truly, truly dead honest with ourselves so that we might see Christ and that we might see who we are, that we may become more like you. Lord, to be one here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today be the day of their salvation, wherever it may be on this campus. The Lord, speak to us, and we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about we started out in chapter 16. We're going to turn one page back a little bit. Chapter 16 was talking about Jehoshaphat's daddy by the name of Asa. He was the king of Judah, the lower two tribes of Israel, the top 10 tribes, or the northern tribes, had gone off right from the very beginning, right after Solomon. And they were amassed. They had worshipped false idols. They made a golden calf all over again. It just doesn't make any sense for them to do that. Should have known that from the time of Moses. But they went up there, and they just did a mess up there. And Asa was a fairly good guy, but he kind of got full of himself, got a little bit, I don't know, maybe a little bitter or some things. And the prophet Hanani came to Asa, his daddy, and he says in verse 9 of chapter 16, he says, I want you to understand a principle of God's provision. He says, for the eyes of the Lord, look at it, chapter 16, verse 9 of 2 Chronicles, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's looking for somebody to bless. He's not going to bless a mess. Now, sometimes in his mercy, he spares us, and we saw that last week. But he wants to bless. But listen, if you can take God or leave him, your heart's not after him. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf to those whose hearts is perfect. He said, well, my heart's never going to be perfect. No, the word perfect means it's aiming that direction. It's longing for it. Like I said, you can be longing for God with all your heart, even though, listen, you're next to the door of hell. I mean, you've been so bad, you know, and all this stuff. God could never want me. Yes, he does. All he wants is your heart. He wants your heart. Now, if he gets your heart, he'll get a lot of this other stuff. You know what we say? Well, as soon as I get a bunch of stuff all fixed up, I'll come back to church. As soon as I get all this fixed up, I'll come back to God. So in other words, you can get fixed up without God. Is that what you're saying? You're good enough all by yourself. So what do you need God for? If you can get fixed up without God, you don't need a Savior. You don't need Calvary. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. But the gift, which means we didn't deserve it, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How? God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the principle is, God is looking to bless you. Then we found out Jehoshaphat, he was a good guy. In chapter 17, we found out, excuse me, something in my throat here. We saw a man whose heart was after God. Jehoshaphat practiced the principles of God's provision. It says in chapter 17, verse 3, it says, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked in the first ways of his father David, sought not unto Baal, that's a false god, but sought to the Lord, God of his father, and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. In fact, it says he built up garrisons and forces and put up walls. I don't want those folks from Israel coming down here and messing us up. Not that he was perfect, he says, but I know if they come down here, I'm going to be drawn away of my own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's done, it brings forth death. He says, I don't need them down. I don't need them down because, you know, if we bring all that down here, sure enough, I'm going to start doing what they're doing. There's some places we shouldn't run because it's going to get us into trouble. Now, he says, listen, he says, God says he blessed him because he was really good looking. No, he blessed him because he just liked him. No, he blessed him because he walked in the first ways. The priority ways, the ways that David had told him to do. Listen, God said, not that David was perfect, but it was a man after God's heart. There are times when we're going after God and we're looking at, and we are going to stumble. We're going to get in something we're not supposed to. We're going to step in something we shouldn't have. The fact is, we keep our faith. God knows that. When you gave birth to kids, you knew that they were going to get dirty. You knew we're going to have to change diapers. If you didn't know that, you knew that one of these days is going to say, I didn't take the cookie. You know, I didn't get in the jelly with it all over their mouth and their hands. You knew that. You love them while they were yet sinners. You knew that. God knows that. That's not an excuse. But we need to be aiming toward him. And so God was with him because he sought the Lord God of his father and walked his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So God did what? God provided. He protected. And he promoted. We saw that. That's the principle. God says that's the way it works. That's what he did, and it worked. Now, I'm not saying you're never going to have problems. In fact, we're going to see that next week. Listen, you can love the Lord with all your heart and still have problems. But when you got him on your side, you deal with them differently. We'll see that next week. So last week, the scene opens. And there sits Jehoshaphat with King Ahab from Israel. You know, Ahab and Jezebel. And they're sitting there having a little party. And they're buddies. That was the same king that he had put forces up and said, I don't want the king of Israel coming down here and bringing that mess down here. He had forces. Don't let them come in here. By the time we get to chapter 18, he's up there sitting in his living room having a party. He let his standards relax. Now hang on. When he sought the Lord with his heart, there was two things that happened. One, he said, I don't want to be anywhere near the mess that's going to get me into trouble. And I want to be as close to the Word of God as I can. In fact, you go back to chapter 17 when Jehoshaphat said, we're going to lead this country right. He sent out priests and Levites and princes, the government, and they had a copy of the Word of God, and they went to all the towns and cities of Judah and gave out, preached the Word of God and taught them. Says that's what's going to keep them out of trouble. By the way, it still works. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so that's what he did. But now we came to the point last week where he says, well, everything's just fine. He had joined affinity. He had allowed his son to marry Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. And they're having dinner, and Ahab says, well, you know what, Jehoshaphat, I've been messing with those Syrians for years. They really give me up. I mean, they're just a pain. I think I can take them. You want to go with me? And Jehoshaphat says, I am as you are, my people as your people. Since when? Well, see, they're in-laws now, so they feel like, I guess they got to feel like, you know, they got to, wait a minute. What happened? Someplace it kind of slipped. So Jehoshaphat, being a good guy, I mean, he's not an idiot. Well, he's not always wise, but he's not an idiot. He says, well, let's find out what God says. Do you have any prophets of the Lord around here? And so he says, so Ahab brings in 400 prophets, not necessarily of the Lord, 400 prophets to tell him, oh, yeah, go down. It'll be great. It'll be fine. You'll be able to take the Syrians. And Jehoshaphat, I don't know how he could tell. But apparently he could tell by the way they looked or something. Don't you have any prophets of God around here? And Ahab says, well, there's one out here, but I hate that guy. You look at it, so he says, I hate that guy. He never says anything nice to me. Every time I say that, he said, no, you're going to be in trouble. You know why? He could say that. He's not seeking after the Lord either. He knows that Ahab wasn't seeking after the Lord. So the principle is, if I seek after the Lord, get away from the world and go toward God, God's going to bless, right? Well, he's going to have a problem because he knows Ahab's not trying to get away from the world. He knows not going toward God. Anyway, finally, the prophet of God comes in and says, oh, yeah, you'll be fine. And Ahab, don't lie to me. You know I'm a dead man. Don't tell me that. Okay, all right. He said, I'll tell you what I see. I see a nation without a king. See, he says, told you Jehoshaphat, he hates me. No, he's telling you the truth from God. God doesn't hate you. He's telling you the truth. This is the way it works. It's the way it works. But here's the weird thing. Jehoshaphat goes into battle with him anyway. The prophet of God just told him, you realize that somebody's going to die here. And don't you love it? Ahab says, I'll tell you what, Jehoshaphat, why don't you put on that snazzy robe and all that stuff that makes you look like a king? I think I'm going to go have for casual Friday this time. And we're going to go out to battle. You sharpen up, you know, and I'll just kind of be incognito. Because he was smart enough to know that they're going to shoot the king. Well, shoot the king. And the fact is, that's exactly what was almost happened. And they get in the heat of the battle. And the Syrians surround Jehoshaphat there in all his robes. The good guy who just kind of let things slip. And they were about ready to get him. And he says, and they realize, so he cries out, says, Lord, help me. And somehow they realize, wait a minute, this is not, I don't know how they knew. I guess Ahab's picture was up in the post office or something. But I don't know. Somehow they knew, wait a minute, this isn't Ahab. This is just some other guy, Jehoshaphat. He said, don't go after him. Let's go find him. In the meantime, some guy, just says, by happenstance, shoots an arrow, and it slides in just the right little spot there and gets Ahab. So Jehoshaphat has a close call. So that's where we are this morning, chapter 19. And Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. He got to go home. He was that close from being a dead man. There's been times in my life when I especially when I was a teenager. I was saved when I was 11. But there's some times in my life when I know I was a teenager that I, so help me, I believe God spared my life. There were some times, and just because of being foolish. I won't have, some of you heard me tell the story about the Corvette I was driving didn't have any brakes. Some girl says, let's see what it'll do. I wouldn't do that for a guy, but you know if a girl says it, you know. We were on a date, and I said, down, you know, and I got ready to shut that thing down and put my foot on the brake and went clear the floor. Never did that again. So help me. I it was like God says, I'm just getting your attention, stupid. Don't do it again. Well, actually, Jehoshaphat gets to go back home in peace. That word means safe and sound, happy and hunky-dory. It shouldn't be. Why was Jehoshaphat able to go home without a scratch? I'll tell you why. God had mercy on him when he cried out. That's the only thing that you can say. God had mercy. He saw his foolishness. Look at verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer. Now, you see who that is. Well, remember, Hanani was the old prophet, the old preacher that went to Jehoshaphat's daddy, Asa, and told him, now listen, God's looking to try to see who he can bless. He's looking to and fro to see whose heart is perfect toward him so he can show him strong on his behalf. He's looking. Well, Hanani apparently probably had passed on, and Jehu is the preacher boy, the son of the preacher, and he comes to Jehoshaphat, and he says he went out to meet him. He and said to King Jehoshaphat, apparently Jehoshaphat's coming home from the battle. I don't know how they heard it, but word got back, and the preacher kind of stops right there in the middle of the road and starts and stops Jehoshaphat and says, shouldst thou help the ungodly? That means the guilty, the condemned, the morally wrong. Should you help the ungodly, and verse 2 there, and love them that hate the Lord? Now that word hate in the Bible, you've got to be careful with that. It doesn't necessarily mean what we always mean, what we look at it. But this particular time means to count the Lord as an enemy. I mean, this is the guy who says, I don't listen to the prophet of God because I don't like what he says. So should you be running around with somebody who doesn't want to hear what God says? By the way, that still works. Just because they're cool, just because you can sit in their house and play video games, just because we all can, you know, they're going to feed us nice, or they're going to take care of us well, and we can be buddies, and it looks like we're somebody important. And by the way, teenagers aren't the only ones who do that. You know, if I'm willing to take out the clients to get drinks, they'll promote me. Let God promote you. But anyway, he says, shouldst thou help those who are ungodly, those who count the Lord as an enemy? Should we really be spending billions? By the way, well, I won't get into that. That's another day. Love them that hate the Lord. Therefore, watch. I love this. Watch this. He says, therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord. He says, there's something that's coming from the Lord's, from the direction, from the Lord's direction here, coming down here to war. He says, there's wrath. That word wrath is an interesting word. If you go look it up, it means splinter. It means splinter, to be chipped off. Now, in a way, it can be the idea of rage or strife. But he says, you know what? You're going to have some trouble. Have you ever known somebody, and maybe it's you, it seems like no matter what you do in life, life just seems to be full of splinters. Full of thorns. You think you're doing well, and it just seems like, man, you can never get ahead. It's just always an issue. It's always a problem. You think you're going to grab something good, and it turns out your hands get full of splinters again.
Now, he's telling that to Jehoshaphat. He's a good man. He was the man that basically brought in revival into Judah. He said, I know Daddy didn't quite finish well, but we're going to do this right, so we're going to send out folks all over Judah to preach the word of God, and God's going to bless. And God did bless. It came to the point where God was bringing him riches from other nations. He was promoting him. He was well known. He had protection. God spared him. He's coming home this time and says, you know what? You had a hard day today, didn't you, boy? That close to being dead. He says, why is your life full of splinters? Jehoshaphat spared by the mercy of God. But wait a minute. God's wrath is still on him. Yet God delivered him when he called out. God knew that Jehoshaphat had just made some very unwise choices. But God allowed him to go through the heat of the battle in order to learn his lesson. He loves him, but it's going to let him get some splinters. If you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. You take coals into your breast, the Bible says, will you not be burned? Let me tell you the second thing here. The first thing, did I give it to you? Jehoshaphat is rebuked. Jehoshaphat is rebuked. Good man got off the path. He was rebuked. But second, Jehoshaphat is remembered for his heart. It says, verse 3, nevertheless, in other words, with all that's been said, he says, there are good things found in thee. So a preacher stops Jehoshaphat in the road and says, you know, why are you running around the wrong crowd? You wonder why you're having some splinters in life? Been running around the wrong crowd. You haven't been spending time in the Word again. He said, but you know what? You're not a bad guy. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and thou hast taken away the groves. Now, that was talking about way back when. But he says, with all this said, there was a time when you really did seek God, and I know that. And you see these groves, you see, they were supposed to worship God in a certain way, in a certain place. But the people wanted to do it their way. Where they wanted and how they wanted. And they would set up these groves in, out, and about and say, well, you know what? You go down to the temple and you got to worship God a certain way and this and that, and you got the bloody lambs and the smoke and this. You ever just smell stinking, burning flesh? I mean, just you know, it's not real pretty, and they talk about our sin and all this, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to worship up on the groves. We can worship. Listen, you know what? I can worship God just as well out there at the trout stream. I can worship God just as well down at the shopping mall. I can worship God just as well out there on the golf course. I can worship God any way I want. He's supposed to love me. That's his job. But see, Jehoshaphat had taken down those groves. So we're going to worship God the way God wants him to be worshiped. You see, it's not that I'm just going to kind of head that direction. No, my heart is perfect toward him. I've got him in my sights. I want not to kill him, but I want to know God. I'm looking for him. That's what I want. I want to do just the way, as close as I can, to what he wants. Because he said, listen, he's walking about, looking to and fro, seeking whom he can bless, whose heart is perfect toward him. But I don't want to go down to church. There's hypocrites there. God did not say, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, unless there's hypocrites there. You know, I'll guarantee you there's probably some hypocrites at the ballpark. Some lady or some guy, some kid, or whatever was dragged to the ballpark. But listen to what he says. Thou art good things found in, thou hast taken away the groves. out of the land and has prepared thine heart to seek God. Prepared thine heart to seek God. He was spared. Prepared means he set it up. He put things in place to seek God. Do you prepare yourself to seek God, or do you seek God if you get time? Have you prepared yourself to seek God, or do you seek Him if nothing else interesting is going on? Listen, there's a lot of good things we could be doing this morning. Good things. But the fact is, you decide you're going to seek God this morning. Good things is not what He's looking for. Amen. What He wants is your heart. Amen. If you give Him your heart, there's going to be good things happening. You may spare yourself a lot of splinters if you seek Him with all your heart. That's what He's saying. We're missing out. We have been convinced that what we need to do is make sure that our kids have this club and this sport and this lesson and that lesson and this lesson and that lesson. He said, because, and you know what I think we think? So help me. They'll love me more and I won't lose them. I'll let them do all those things because all their friends do it, and if they don't, they're going to be upset with me and I'm going to lose my kids. I think that's what Jehoshaphat did. He had put up garrisons. He put up the army and said, don't let those folks from Israel come down here and entice us with their sin. And somewhere along the way, his son got an eye for Ahab's daughter. In fact, the beginning of the next chapter after that, it talks about how he gave all his sons everything. I think he thought, they're going to like me, I'll love them, I'll be able to keep my kids. So what happened? Once Jehoshaphat's gone, the firstborn is supposed to be the king, kills the rest of the boys and others. And then ran the nation according to the way they did it up in Israel. Because, you go back and look at it, he was married to the daughter of Ahab. You give them what the world has, you're not going to gain them, you're going to lose them. I'm serious. You're going to lose them. Now, it's not about walking around with a ball and chain. We're going to be Christians around here. Do you understand me? Around here, we love God. And you're going to love your sister. Do you know where I'm going to beat the stuffings out of you? That's what we think the choices are. That's not the choices. You want to see the fruit of the Spirit? Live in the fruit of the Spirit. Start seeing it in the mirror first. And you know what? You can start seeing it in the mirror. By the way, it's not putting it on. You can't put on the fruit. That's like going down to Walmart and buying a bunch of plastic fruit and taping it to your tree. And when everybody knows that I'm a good fruit grower, whatever it is, whatever. Orchardist. That's not a word either, is it? I know how to do it. I don't even know how to spell it. I know how to do it. And I'm going to staple a bunch of plastic apples all over my tree. Doesn't that sound silly? And yet we'll staple a bunch of plastic Christianity all over us. When what all He wants is our heart. Take off the pretense. Take off the paint. Take off all the stuff. we catch that from one another.
Well, this person, they don't let on that they have any sin. Well, I'm not going to let on that I have any sin.
And we'd raise these kids. Well, we don't let on we have sin. But everybody knows we all go home and have sin. And then a kid says, it's a bunch of foolishness. And I don't want to have anything to do with any of it. And then we wonder why.
I had another whole half a message. We're going to stop right here.
Jehoshaphat returned. We're going to talk about, he returned physically this time. And God told him, said, listen, I saved your neck. Now go back where you were and do the first things all over again. Next week we're going to see what he does in his heart, because he does. Now, don't put your shoes on yet. Come on, I'm not. Hang on. You need to return with more than your body in the building. In fact, you can come back to the building and never come back to God. Okay? Now, if you want to come back to God, I'd like to think this is a good place to come back to. Lord willing, we're going to see from the Word of God what we need to do. But what He wants is your heart. So when you come back to Him, it's not just back to the building. It's back to the first ways. It's back to realizing, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. Just find out, remember who we are. Find out it was the grace. And then say, Lord, I'm going to go. Wait a minute. How did he get the blessings in the first place? Separated from the mess. And sought him with all his heart. So ask yourself these questions this morning. And he said this. He said, "There," he says, you have prepared thine heart to seek God. He did it on purpose. He put everything into place to make sure he's going to seek God. I hope you take this right. My daughter and my son-in-law still beat me to church on Sunday morning. And now they have an infant to get here. They're usually here before I am. Now, we're usually here before 9 o'clock. Sunday school starts at 9:30. I'm not really late. Now, I'm just saying, it can be done. Prepare your heart to seek God. Put it in place. Because if we don't, we'll relax. And before we know it, we're sitting in a seat next to somebody that we shouldn't be. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall... You've heard that one before. That's what he's saying. Why am I not prospering? Maybe I'm not preparing my heart to seek him. Verse number 4 of Psalm 1 says, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind
bloweth. If you feel like you're tossed by the wind and your hands are full of splinters, maybe we need to go back and see if we have a heart after God. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Lord, we need you. We need you to do a work in our lives. Every single one of us need to reassess, take inventory, and make sure that we, our hearts and our lives are prepared to seek you. Our heads are bowed.